Okay, we left off yesterday in the very bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. We were talking about Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos about how to understand what Rabba's question was. What would Rabba want? What was Rabba's dilemma? What was his problem with Medev Mikta? So Rashi had a very difficult pshat that the problem was, why isn't it a Meishim Aveda? Why isn't it a Meishim Metzia? So we ran into a brick wall about isn't that only Medev Rabbanim? There are a lot of possibilities, but we weren't really comfortable with any of the pshat. So then we went with Tosfos, which is a view of most of the Rishon. The Gemara was answering on the Mishnah of Meishim Metzia. Rather, the Gemara was picking on the age-old principle called Miga. Why isn't every Medev Mikta's Pata Mishvua based on Miga? Miga could have been Kaifer HaKol. And the Gemara's ultimate answer is going to be that it's not a good Migo for technical grounds. Migo the other and the May is not a fight. That's the second answer, Rabbah. But we want to still focus on the question of Rabbah. Bibdeimam Ratayra, why did the Torah not exempt them based on Migo? Which led the Ritvot to say, does that mean from Doi, see from here that Migo is a din midaraisa? So that much, pretty much all the Rishonim say, anyone who learns this pshat, that's based on Migo, is obviously going to have to conclude that Migo is a deraisa. Otherwise, Rabbah's question would have been pretty silly. But the Ritva adds an akuda to the sugi, which is really what we want to pick up today. The Ritva says, not only will I tell you that Migo is deraisa, I'm going to go the next step. I'm going to tell you where it's deraisa from. I'm going to show you that it's deraisa. I'm going to give you a mock. I'm going to show you in Chumash that Migo is in fact within deraisa. So the best the Ritva could do is he dug up a Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos, in the second Berak, which isn't even really talking about Migo. And we have to understand that Gemara and understand the Ritva's understanding of that Gemara and see why that is or is not a good support for this idea that Migo is in fact a deraisa. So we gave it the very Nidish yesterday. We left off with the principle of Pesha Osar. The Mishnah gives two examples. A woman says, Esha says, Isha Yisi, Vidiskarashti. Or a woman says, Nishbeis Yitayra Nisa. The Mishnah says, the Feirish, but she's believed based on Pesha Osar. Frakti Markasha, Menani Mili. Where does it come from? How do you know there's a principle called Pesha Osar? Just because I said it's Osar and I said it's Mutter, why am I believed? So comes the Gemara and says, well, it's the Mokh, it's a Pasim Chomesh and Pashas Kisaitsei. A father has nemanos to say that he married off his little daughter. That's nemanos av. A father, there are really two halachas. The halacha is number one that the father has the ability to do that, to marry off his daughter up to the age of na'ar until she's 12 and a half. And not only does he have the halacha ability to do it, he even has nemanos to say that he did it. So the truth is that both of those are really kedusha atayra. The starting point of all kedushin is the isha nikneis, that a woman has to supply das kedushin. So a little girl who's under the age of 12, she doesn't have any das whatsoever. So she should not even be a Bas Kedushin B'chlal. Or even if she's 12 years old, if she's a Bas Das already, she should be able to supply her own Das Kedushin. So it's really a tremendous Chiddush HaTorah that the father is considered to take over the woman's Das, not a woman, she's a little baby, takes over the girl's Das, then he is able to be Mekadosh, he's able to supply Das Kedushin. And then on top of that, the Torah is Mekadosh, that he's Neman to make such a statement, to walk at the basement, even though he's an Eid Echad, he's a father, he is Ein Dav Shem Pachos V'Shnayim. He walks to the bed and says, Baruch Abu, my little girl is an Eishas Ish. So that's a double Chiddush HaTorah. They're both learned out from the same pasuk. It's Biti Nasati. The Torah says, and the Parshas Matzi Shemra, the father walks into Beis Din, and he makes a statement, it's Biti Nasati. So that teaches us he can do it, and it teaches us he's Neman to say that he did it as well. So comes the Gemara and says, if you look really carefully at those words, those magic words in Parshas Seisei, that quote, it's Biti Nasati. If a father would walk at the basin and say, I married off my little 8-year-old daughter to a man. Stop. Right there. Stop. Stop what he said. What did he just accomplish? He just asked her. Right? He has nemanas av, the hoy that he was bekadish his little daughter. His beating us out lish finished. What's the next word of the Torah? Hazeh. What does hazeh mean? He's pointing to the husband saying, you're the lucky guy, you're the chasan. And what does the Torah say? He's believed. He's believed to say he asked her. He's believed to say that he was matir her. So by saying hazeh, he's matir a woman who otherwise was an Eishes Ish. If he would have stopped and not said hazeh, he would have a kapaskin on her. She's an Eishes Ish. We don't know who the husband is. She's a surah chala ilam. By him saying the word hazeh, that magic word hazeh, is now matir her. So comes the Gemara and says, oh, you see, for me, there's a principle called the Peshach Osh Shpesi Hitir. So what's the difference between the father saying, well, ish hazeh? The father saying, well, ish is a lashon iser, hazeh is a lashon heter. What's the difference between that and ish ishani, ish ishayisi is a lashon iser, and now what? Grushani, now I'm a grusha, which is a lashon heter. Or nishbeisi is a lashon iser, tahirani 15 we ran out of cases, the Lashon Heter. What's the difference? They're all the same thing. So Isha Zeh is the same as Isha Shagrusha, which is the same as the Shbeitzi Torah. It's all the same. So Zeman Fendo, you see from this model of the Torah, Isha Zeh, that a Pesha also Pesha Hitler. Comes the Gemara and asks the funny question. What's the question? Of course you see that. You need a posse for that. You need a posse in Pashki Seitzi to teach your Pesha also Shbeitzi Hitler. Wamali Kras Varu, asks the Gemara. It's clear as day. It's partial. Of course you can. Of course you believe. Who lost the Sharila? Avada, avada, avada. He's believed. What do you need to pause it? To Rosh Hashanah, to waste time, waste the word of the Chumash to tell me Isha Zed to teach professionals that you couldn't have figured out on your own. It's a partial of Svara. Lamli Kras Svara. And we have a rule that whenever something is a real convincing Svara, it's a Din Min HaTorah. Svara is one of the Midish HaTorah Dreshes Bahem. So comes the Gemara and says, you're talking right. That the Mokma for the Din of Pesha Hashanah is a Svara. And what's the meaning of the word Hazeh? It's something totally different. The Gemara Tarshish is a whole long Megillah. What's derived from Hazeh? Ad kan devar Gemara. Comes the Ritva in the beginning of Masechas Bamitzia Dav Gimel and says, what do you see from this Gemara? That the principle of Pesha Osir is a Din D'Araisa. It's so posh that you don't even need a Pesach. It's a Svar B'Alma. Why does it work? What's the Svar of Pesha Osir? What's the Helig of Svar of Pesha Osir? What is it? It's a Migo. What's the Migo? You don't have to say anything. Who told him to say anything? Who told this guy walking it open of his mouth? I have a little girl, an 8-year-old girl walking around the street. I think she's an Eshes Ish. Like, I have a woman who walks, a 25-year-old woman walks into the base, I think she's an Eshes Ish. I have a woman who walks into the base, I think she's a Shruta. Meikatayse. It's called a Migo, you know, it's called a Migo Diboy Shosik. Nobody asked you to open up your mouth. You decided to open up your mouth, and then you gave a Langa McGill and a whole story in a backwards and around about Maisa while you're still mutter. Because Nishbeis Yotayrani, great Ish is a Shishu Gushani, La Ish, and Hazeh. Nobody asked you to open up your big mouth. You opened it up and then you solved the problem. That's called the Migo, Migo Dibay Shosik. Because if you would have wanted to lie, if you would have wanted to pull the wool over us and get married and deny the fact you're an Ish, it would have been much easier for you to do that. Just don't say anything. So from the fact that you're telling the story, and it would have been an easier lie, it would have been no lichal, it would have been convenient, much easier to lie by saying nothing. That's called the Migo Dibay Shasik, and that's also called the Migo, and that's the Nemonis of Pesha also. So Zokti Ritva, what's lit in the Gemara in Ksubas Dachaveis, when the Gemara first thought it was a Pasuk, the Gemara first thought there was necessity for Pasuk, then the Gemara backs out and says you don't even need a Pasuk, it's a Svar B'Alma. What the Gemara is really saying is that the principle of Migo is a Din D'Araisa, either based on a Pasuk or based on a Svara. Just as Migo Dibay Shasik is a Din D'Araisa, so too Migo Dibay Kofar Kol is a Din D'Araisa. Migo di boy this, that, the other. Migo de la hoya dvarayelu. Migo de la kuchi miyadi. You plug in the Migos. Whatever Migo you like, your choice of Migo. All Migos are the Araisa. Because what the Gemara is saying is that the odds that the person is telling the truth are so profound, are so high, that constitutes an acceptable raya on a love of the Araisa. So says the Ritva, it's that Gemara Ksubis that's ultimately the source for the principle of Migo being a Araisa. No. The fact, you know, Inochem, you need a pasuk to say you can make a roster. There's no question we need the pasuk to speak in a satu of ish. The question in the Gemara is around the word hazeh. Is the purpose of the word hazeh to teach me that pesha osu pesha yitir? Well, no, once I know he can make a roster, then pesha osu pesha yitir is a pasha to svara, and hazeh is not going to be different something else. No, but it's the same thing. That's the Chiddush HaTorah, that the father and the daughter emerge into one. The father is the representative of the daughter until she's 12 and a half. That's the same thing. Tosfos had a shalom with a Migo Dibay Shasik, maybe even better than a regular Migo. Yeah. Taisus had one possibility that Migo Dibay Shasik is better. A regular Migo may not work, but a Migo Dibay Shasik may be better than a regular Migo. That's a little part of Migo. Okay. So far, so good. So the truth of the Ritva Shita, that the Ritva made an equation between Mitzia to Ksubis, is basically an equation between two halachic principles. Every Migo and every Pesha also is an effective Migo. Not every Migo is a Pesha also, but every Pesha also is an effective Migo. So this Ritva is highly questionable. And this may be the root, the truth will lack the rov of this Rishva, maybe the root of a somewhat of a complicated sugya that appears at the very end of Maseches Ksubos. So we've got to jump 80 blades over the Ksubos. Taf Kuftesen is, right? It was. We have to get a little bit of a background to understand an important Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos that appears in the backwoods of Maseches Ksubos, which is going to shed some light on, is every Peshit also in effect just a fancy bigo, and this is ultimately the source, bigos deraisa or b'chorma? So we need a little bit of a background. Comes the Mishnah in the end of Maseches Ksubos and talks about the following shayla. This is more of a Bavasa shayla than a Ksubos shayla. Famous, good old famous fight. I claim the land belongs to me, you claim the land belongs to you, back and forth and back and forth. In this particular case, though, Reuben has the upper hand, okay? Reuben's claiming the land. It's his. Shimon's sitting on the land right now, but Reuben's got the better claim. What does he have? He's got a Cheskes Barakama, means it used to belong to his family. Shimon doesn't really have a Cheskes Gimel Shanim, he doesn't have a Shtar. So the way the Dintar is pointed right now, it looks like Reuben's about to walk away and take the land away from Shimon. Okay? He's the Ma'arer, so to speak. Shimon is the Machzik, but he doesn't have a real Chazocha. He doesn't have a Cheskes Gimel Shanim, and just being tough with the character is meaningless. So Reuben's about to win the case. Until Shimon pulls in a piece of evidence that turns the whole case upside down. Shimon says, you know, Reuven, you're claiming that this particular land belongs to you, and I'm a Goslin, and I bought it from a Goslin, whatever it is, that this land, I'm not entitled to be on this land. I have some interesting information to share with the Beis Din. 2 months ago, I sold another piece of land, an adjacent piece of land, to somebody else. I made a sold piece of land. Now, when you sell a piece of land, you have to identify that land. And the normal way to identify it is to write, it's next to this field, it's next to that field, the border is this field, the border is this swamp, the border is this spring, whatever. You give identifying features to the land. So I sold a totally separate case, totally separate Shaila. I sold a piece of land to Levi. And in the shtar of demarcation, when I wanted to identify the land, I wrote, the land that I'm selling to Levi happens to be the land that's bordering on my field, which is the field in question. And guess what? Who signed on that shtar? Well, you, Reuven. You were the Edom on that shtar. You read the shtar. You can't sign a shtar without reading the shtar. How can that be? And once he has to be the Sadek Suba for somebody. It was a Sfadim and Sadek Kedushin. And he asked me to sign the Ksuba. So, you know, the Sfadim, they live a little bit of a different text of the Ksuba. So I felt a little bit uncomfortable. And even Ashkenazi Ksuba, I tried to read quickly before I signed it. But here, it had different numbers in it. So I felt not right. So I started to read it, and he started screaming at me. He said, "What? Why do you think I'm not, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm not qualified?" I said, "I don't think you're not." I responded, he's 2 years older than me. I kept on reading, whatever. I'm wasting time, I'm holding up the chuppah. It was 11 o'clock already, the chuppah was called for 7. It was 11 o'clock, all of a sudden it was in a big rush. So, whatever it was. So, that comment was not meant as a negative comment, it was just a statement of the truth. Okay, get back to the story. Yeah. So comes Shimon and turns around to Reuven and says, Reuven says, you signed the shtar a few months ago, and licked in the signing of the shtar was a statement of yours to the effect that this field, which is now in question, the field that you're now being ma'ar on, actually belongs to me. So what is Shimon saying to Reuven? If you have to put that into halachic terminology, what is Shimon in effect accusing Reuven of doing? Of providing a lot? Hodos Baldin. Reuven made Hodos Baldin. You think Hodos Baldin is only when you walk at the Beis Din and you officially formal statement of Hodos Baldin? No. If I do something, if I act, if I sign something, if I do anything that indicates that I'm saying a certain statement of truth that's later going to hurt me in a Din Torah, that's also called Hodos Baldin. So Reuven, in effect, by signing the shtar, made Hodos Baldin that he does not own the field, that in fact Shimon is the rightful owner of the field. So everything just switched now. So a moment ago, we thought that Reuven had the upper hand of the Din Torah. We're now about to give it to Shimon, because Shimon has Hodos Baldin on his hands. Comes Reuven with the following response. Reuven says, let me explain to you what's really going on over here. Okay? You're right. I was the original owner of this field. At one time, the field was sold to you, whatever was our story, Maisa. So 6 months ago when I signed that shtar, that field did belong to you, Shimon. But guess what? In the last 6 months, I bought it back from you. So Reuven just maneuvers his taina, and he says, I'm now advancing to my next taina called Chazarti Lekachti Bimcha. So wait a second, hold on. Chazarti Lekachti Bimcha. That's a lousy taina. For me to taina that I admit the field belonged to you, but I bought it from you subsequently, that taina doesn't hold up in Beis Din. You know why? That taina must be supported by one of two things, either by a shtar, or at least by what? By Chesed Gimel Sharim, right? Ravas with us. So just for me to say, yes, the field was yours, but I bought it from you, is a meaningless taina. So Shimon looks, his mom is about to walk away with this dintera. So Reuven is revamping his taina. He's saying, Lekachti Mimcha. Reuven smart. Reuven says, I'm not just saying Lekachti Mimcha. I'm going to give some support to my taina Lekachti Mimcha. Believe me, Lekachti Mimcha, b'migo. I have a migo that could have won the dintera. Comes with Yechon and says he's believed. And guess what? We have to erase this check again and move it back to Reuven. And the Gemara says at the end of the day, Reuven wins the din Torah. Why? He's believed to say, L'chazayti l'kachti b'cha, b'migo di boyomar. You fill in the blank. Migo that he could have said the following. Migo that he could have said, what? What in the world would he have said that could have possibly won the din Torah? So comes Rashi with a startling statement. Comes Rashi and says, you know what his Migo is? Migo that I didn't have to sign on that shtar 6 months ago. Nobody asked me to sign on that shtar 6 months ago. I chose to sign on that shtar 6 months ago, which caused the problem in the first place. Because let's not forget, otherwise I would have won the dintar. I had the upper hand of the dintar. You have nothing. You don't have a cheskes avos, you don't have a gimoshanim, you don't have a shtar, you have nothing. So the starting point of the dintar was, I was supposed to win. The only thing that put the check in your direction was my hodos about din 6 months ago. So now, if I come forward and I say, Lekachti Mimcha, even though that statement in and of itself is not Neman, because I don't have a shtar either, I don't have a muksak either, I have nothing, but I should be believed, me though, they didn't have to sign the shtar in the first place 6 months ago, and I would have won the entire. That's my migo. That's Rashi Shad and Rabbi Yechon's migo. Migo di boy, migo di boy lo chasamti. So Frek Tosis, you can ask Tosis Kasha? So let me say Tosis Kasha. Comes Tosis and says, migo? Lo shamanu davazeme yaylam. That's amigo. Amigo of what? Amigo of who? Right now, Bashir Hushong, what's your other taina? Give me your other taina. You're standing in front of Beis Din and you're saying, Lekachti Mimcha. Beis Din says, that's silly. That's worthless. Okay, Beis Din, let me re-say it. Lekachti Mimcha, amigo, that I could taina what? That I could taina that, what? That I could have taina something 6 months ago? That's what we call a classic migo lo what? Migo lo mefreya le'amino. Taisa shows you from a quick tour through Shas. Those who remember from the Chesed Batin days, we spent a lot of time in this. Migo lo mefreya le'amino. Migo means when you have two tainas in front of you, you could say A, you could say B. I chose to say A is a lousy taina, but I'm going to win because migo I could have easily said B. But if I couldn't say B, because B has already been blown out of the water, because of events that took place in the last 6 months, that's called the Migo Lemafreya, and that's a classic violation of Ruchos Migo. It's the ultimate violation of Ruchos Migo to say that, believe me on what I'm saying, Migo, I could have said something else in the past. So Frek Taisa Kashin Rashi, what do you mean Migo Lekachti Mimcha? Migo, you could have said that I wasn't Kaisim in the Shtar. Migo, you could not. What kind of Migo is that? What mites is that Migo? That's Taisa's Kasha. Mikoyach HaChomer HaKusha, Taisa's rejects Rashi's Pshat and gives a totally different Pshat. Taisa says, you know what the Migo is? I can be believed to say Lekachti Mimcha. Why? I have a taina in front of me right now. There's a taina on the table right now that could save the day. What's the taina? There's one thing Reuven could say to Shimon that could win him the Din Torah, hands down. What is that? Okay, according to Taisa. Taisa just rejected Rashi. So here, Reuven, we got to get into the fight here, right? So we thought Reuven wins the Din Torah. Shimon pulls out the Hodos Baldin. Reuven responds, Lekachti Mimcha. Yes, the Hodos Baldin is true, but Lekachti Mimcha. Where's the Migo? Migo, I could have said right now, not 6 months ago, I can look you straight in the eye, Shimon, and say, that shtar that you're holding that has an Hodos Baldin written in it, it's not Bezuyev. It's a forgery. Tanis Mezuyif, we never heard of Tanis Mezuyif. No one learned with us. The days, Karu, come on. Back to the old days, first always Medrash. Mezuyif. There's a din. Anytime you bring a shtar against me, whether it's a shtar that says that I sold you the fields, there's a shtar that says that I borrowed $1,000 from you, whether it's a get, you name it, the person who the shtar is being brought against has the right to look you straight in the eye and say, Mezuyif, it's a forgery. Go prove that the shtar is valid. And what must you do? You have to do kibum shtaros. You have to go bring to aid them to validate the signatures. So in Achinam, this is Tesis. If Shimon can go ahead and bring to aid them to validate the signatures, then the migo is ois migo, then Takaruv is going to lose the Dura. Get this check, pack it to Shimon. But Kol Zman, you can only say one thing about this Dura. But once, I have to say, Kol Zman, that Shimon has not proven that the shtar is not a mezuyif, Reuven has a tainus mezuyif, and therefore the two tainas in Reuven's pocket right now are, the pocket number one, he's got a taina lakachti bimcha. It's a terrible taina, bad choice, because there's no shtar to support it, there's no kachanski b'shalim, bad choice. But in pocket number two is tainus mezuyif on the other guy's shtar. That's a great choice. So go figure, Reuven's an honest guy, he says the bad, he picks the bad choice. Okay, which of these has the thing in it? He picks the wrong hand. But Migo could pick the right hand. So that's the Migo. Again, Kol's man that the Shtah has a Mekuyim. Once the Shtah has a Mekuyim, then the Migo falls by the ways. So Mechagish Rashi in Taisis tucks away in Ksubas Daf Kuf Tes as to what is this Migo? Where is the Migo? What's the magic Migo of Rabbi Yechon? Lekachti b'mcha Migo dewa. Migo that I couldn't, that I wanted, was inside the Shtah in the first place. A Migo that I denied that there ever is such a Shtah. And I say it's a Mezuyah. So this is what they used to fight out. You know where? In the good old days in Yerushalayim. This was Admon. There was a famous Dayan in Yerushalayim. Two famous Dayanim in Yerushalayim. One's name was Admon and one was who? Hanan. The last parak of Masechet Ksuvah. Shnei Danik Zeres of Yerushalayim. The last parak of Ksuvah says that there were two famous Dayanim who lived in Yerushalayim in the days of Hayasheni. One's name was Admon and one's name was Hanan. They were Gedoylem, Mamash, Azah, Gedoylem. How do we know they were such Gedoylem? How do you know how great they were, Hanan and Admon? Besides the fact that he was a chief Dayanim in Yerushalayim, pretty good title. How do we know how great they were? Because they didn't have any titles. They weren't called Rabbi Admon, they weren't called Rabbi Hanan. They were just Hanan, they were just Admon. So it says in Igeres Rav Shura Gaon, the greatest of the greatest of the greatest don't have any titles. If you're not so great, so we give you a Rav, we give you a Smicha, we call you Rebbe, we call you Rabbi, we call you Rav, Rabbi, whatever we call you, Reb. But Gobi Mirab and Shimon, the greatest of the great, were Hillel. He's not Rabbi Hillel. He's not Rabbi Sham. He's not Rabbi Yaisi Ben Yoezer. He's not Rabbi Shemaya, if you have time. Shemaya! His name speaks for himself. You don't need any titles. Gobi Mirab and Shimon. It says in the Gers of Shurgon. What's the Mokka for that? How do you know the Gobi Mirab and Shimon? I thought the Mokka is the Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. The Torah describes the four Naharos, or four rivers that surrounded Gan Eden. So the Torah says, the first one, it was a Pisha. Well, unbelievable, it went here and it got it had gold and silver. It's getting Gavaldik, it's far. Gichon, wow, this is the greatest place in the world. Chidek Alo, it goes near this guy. And then the last cheapy, lousy, nothing, two by nothing river, an RV, who? Prosper. You have nothing nice to say about it. You know why? Pros speaks for itself. It's the greatest of all the rivers. Because it's Hashem Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to introduce Pros. Everybody knows it. We didn't have to introduce Admon and Hanan. Everyone knew they were. They were the top of the top. So comes the Mishnah in the end of Maseches Ksubas and lists off different machleksim that Admon and Hanan had with the different Chacham in Yerushalayim in the realm of Dinim Mamanes. So this was one of them. Now what do you do in these kind of cuckoo crazes when there's Hados Baldin, there's Hados Baldin with Amigos, with the Maisa? So this was the Mishnah. This was in the days of Aishay in Yerushalayim. The Romans were destroying the city. This is what the Tanoim were talking about. They were fighting it out. It was a good Migo, not a good Migo. Yeah, Migo, no Migo. This was a hot topic in Yerushalayim 2,200 years ago.
I understand that you have a right to say it's Mizuyah and they have to go check it. But you also have a right to say Kofra Kol. Yeah, we say B'mod Mixas. Kofra Kol is Migo. Because Kofra Kol, that's Migo Da'azah, right? It's not a good Migo.
So you understand what kind of Migo? You want to tie it to bad Migo because it's a Migo D'Ha'aza.
Yeah, I'm here with the star and you're going to tell me it's not a...
Interesting question. You're asking a side question and Tyson says, hey, I got a problem with that Migo, it's a Migo D'Ha'aza. Okay, interesting. I hear your question. Interesting. Is Lekach Tivim also a Migo D'Ha'aza? Is it also a statement of Ha'aza? I claim I bought a field from you. He said, what are you crying? I don't know who you are. So what's the din? If what if both titles are hazav? We got work to do, okay? We spoke about it a little bit. We got more work to do later on. Okay, enough for now. So very good. So everybody says, so Rashi's pshat seems very, very difficult. Touch it sounds like he's got the upper hand over here. Rashi's migo is a very, very shvet migo. Of course, that's what I'm going to doubt for a second. Because I had to build it up for 20 minutes. Otherwise, it would have been so boring if I would have just said it. So you have to go back to the drawing board, go back to Rashi, and see, well, what did Rashi say? Did Rashi fall into this trap of Migo and Afreya Lo Yamrina? So you look carefully in Rashi, no. Rashi didn't invoke a regular principle of Migo. Rashi said, this is not Migo playing out over here. What is this? It's a classic Pesha, also Pesha Yitir. Now, the very term Pesha, also Pesha Yitir, is a little bit of a misnomer here, because Isser V'Hetta usually means Ksubis, Eshes Ishes, Shvuyas, Lekaye, this kind of stuff. But loved after. Pesha Osar means I made some incriminating statement. It could be, it costs me either in who I can marry or it costs me in terms of my property. Pesha Hitta means I'm making some statement to my benefit. Either it permits me to marry somebody, like in Ksubis, or it's going to get me some money. So the term Pesha Osar, Pesha Hitta, don't take the word Isav Hetter so literally. That's a good word at the beginning of the second paragraph of Ksubis. The rest of the Ferish, the third Pesha Osar, there can be used interchangeably in Mamanis and in Isur. So comes Rashi and says, you know why this works? You know why this stunt works? The lead me to say lakachti mimcha, quote unquote migo that I could have never signed in the first place. It's not a migo. It's a Pesha Osar. I made a statement at one time 6 months ago by signing the shtar, an incriminating statement. I hereby am admitting in the presence of everybody in the world by signing the shtar that field belongs to somebody else. That was the statement that I made. That was the Pesha Osar. And now I'm turning around and saying I have a Pesha Hitir. I'm explaining why, even though what I said before was correct, I'm not backing out on what I said. I'm not lying. I admit to what I said before. I'm not saying it's Mezuyah. I'm not like Texas. I'm admitting what I said before, and I'm explaining that Aval Pichein, I'm entitled to the field. Very similar to over here. Eishes Ish, Grusha. When I say a Grusha, I'm not saying I wasn't an Eishes Ish. I'm admitting I was married for 20 years, but now I'm a Grusha. I'm admitting that I was a Shvuya, but I'm telling you that I was Tahora, so I'm a Teres anyway. So I'm admitting that I signed that document. I'm admitting that it was a Hodos Baldin, that you were the owner of the field, but I'm telling you why I'm still entitled to the field, because the Kach Tidimcha. So up to Rashi, when you have a Pesha Osar, Pesha also works even the Mafreya. Pesha also is not a Migo. When you have a Migo, so then you have to have both times in front of you, B'Shach's Maifa. The only way that we can believe you on A is Migo, you could say B right now. If you can say B right now, so what kind of Nemanis is that? What kind of Rai is that? What kind of Hochach, what kind of Bir is that? If you can say B now, so what kind of Rai is it? We're saying A is true. But that's only true when you're in the realm of Migo, when you're in the realm of Pesha Osar, you're in a different area of Halacha Legamre. Pesha Osar works with different rules. Pesha Osar means that, Rashi doesn't say the proper word, we're going to end it now. Pesha Osar means a different form of Legamre. You are the one calling the shots, you are the one who's talking. So we believe you, Mamanashah. Either we believe you or we don't believe you. We believe you, don't believe me on both. If you don't believe me, believe me on neither. How can you split hairs and say, Pagir Dibura? We only believe the Issa part, we don't believe the Hatha part. That doesn't make any sense. So Pesha Osar is not a Migo. Pesha Osar is a different parish of the Gamri. Pesha Osar means it's all for one and one for all. Either you accept me as a package deal, accept me for who I am. I'm an Eishes Ish Grusha. You don't want to accept me. You don't believe. You think I'm lying. You don't believe the first. How can you pick and choose? You only believe the part that's against me and not the part that's for me. That doesn't make any sense. That's not fair. But Pesha Osar is not a Migo. Pesha Osar is a package deal. It's almost like an Eidish about Lemitzos about Lekuli. Either everything I'm saying is true or nothing I'm saying is true. You can't pick and choose. So comes the Shit Bukabetz in the second part of Ksubas and quotes from the Baal HaShlama, the Ben HaMashulam, Baal HaShlama, one of the Rishonim who says, that's the Pshat in Rashi. Rashi never meant to say Migal Mafreya Lamrina, nobody would say such a thing. Migal Mafreya Amrina, that's crazy. How did anybody say Migal Mafreya? All Rashi meant to say, as Rashi himself points out, is that this is not a Migal, this is a Pesha Osar. And just because of Migal Mafreya Lamrina, Pesha Osar Lamafreya, Kein Amrinan. And therefore the Baal HaShlama says it's quite possible if you take this Rashi to its logical conclusion, you plug it back to Daf Chavez, What would the din be if a woman walks to the bais and says, "Ish is ish, hayisi," and she walks out, and then an hour later she comes back and says, "Oh, but I forgot to tell you, I'm a grusha." What would you say? Would you believe her or not? So the Baal HaShlom is not sure. He's not sure what the din is. Does the pressure also have to be bevasachas? Does it have to be tech deidiva in one shot? Or can it be, I said a statement of base, I came home, and I come back a week later and give you the second half? What's the din? So it says the Baal HaShlom, I'm not sure, but one thing I can tell you, according to Rashi, it's going to work. Because that's what it is. According to Rashi, it's a 6-month gap between the pressure also and the pressure, and that's fine. According to Tosis, it probably won't work. Because according to Tosis, the pressure also is based on Migo, and Migo Lemafreya Lorminan. So Lemafreya means, if it's not Bevasachas, then by definition it's Lemafreya. The only time element we can put on is Tech Nediba. Tech Nediba means just Bevasachas. Once it's after Tech Nediba, 2 seconds later, it's already a Migo Lemafreya Lorminan. So it comes out that there's a fundamental question that the Baal HaShlom is raising our awareness to in the second paragraph of Tosis, about what's the nature of Pesha also. Can Pesha also look like a Freya or not? Which bottom line is a Machlikis, Rashi and Taisa, tucked away in the very ends of the Chanan and Adnon Sugyas and Daf Kuftes and Ksubis. What's the fundamental issue? What's the bottom line question? What is the Nekudas Machlikis, Rashi and Taisa? Is this equation? Is Pesha also a Migo? That's what Taisa said. And therefore, if Migo is a Freya Laminan, then Pesha also a Freya Laminan. Or is Pesha also a different Amonis the Gamre? Just because one is Laminan and a Freya, it sheds no light on Pesha also a Freya. Rabbi said, that Machlek is Rashi and Taisa, tucked away in Ksubis, not Kuftes. That's suffering the Baal HaShlom, tucked away in Chavez, the Chagimel, and the Seven Ksubis, is none other than the issue that the Ritva is raising above the Tziyat of Kimel. The Ritva is searching and searching and searching for a Mokba that Migo is Deraisa. And the best he can come up with was Pesha also. That was it. That's all there was written. He couldn't come up with any other mokbar. So here to be shown him would look at that rye and say, that's the rye that Migos Deraisa. That? That's terrible. It's not right anything. Could that be part of the reason why Rashi veered away from the pshat in Harasugin? Could it be that Rashi couldn't say Migos Deraisa? Rashi didn't have a mokbar that Migos Deraisa. Migos not there. I don't know what Migo is. Rashi learned that unbelievable pshat that we still can't come to terms with from yesterday, but it's not Migo. Could it be that Rashi and the Shittas didn't want to go the route of the Ritva? Because the Ritva and Tosfos are basically all going in the same direction that Migo's Deraisa. Well, you better find a Mokka really fast, and your only shot is Ksubas Daf Chavez. That's assuming that your understanding of Ksubas Daf Chavez is right. So Rabbi say, this Ritva that just committed himself, nobody asked the Ritva for the Mokka. But the Ritva came forward and committed himself and gave you a mokor, Ksubas Daf Chavez, makes us stop, 10 steps back and say, not so pushing at all. Fundamental question, the test case, the litmus test, whether the Ritva is right, is whether Pesha also the affair works. No, but I'm the one who gave them those bavdin. By signing it, I'm the one who admitted it. Okay, that's true, but I'm nice, it's all pinned on my words. So it's as if I'm the one who gave it. I'm the Peshosa. I didn't come forward with it right now, but 6 months ago I did. So by saying, we have two very, very different mahalchim in the Rishonim to understand what Rama's kasha was. Was the Bnei Mamatoyah based on Motzi Metzia, all those problems we had yesterday? Was it based on simple, straight and forward Migo with the potential issue that Migo Deraisa, based on what we said now? The Bais say, there has got to be another Pshat in the Gemara. We know for a fact there is another Pshat in the Gemara because there is a Shita that's sitting in the back burner waiting to be discussed. We spoke a little bit about it in the past, but at the time I said we're going to talk about it more. Well, Bosa, guess what? Here is the more. Here we are. It's the here and now. And that is the famous Shita of the Ho for the Rimagash. In order to appreciate the Rimagash, where he's coming from, we've got to take a step back and understand the Gemara Masechta Shavuos, which is really the source for the whole Rimagash. So we spoke about this Gemara in the past, but let's go back to it once again. The Gemara Masechta Shavuos is talking about the Mishnah. A long, 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 long Mishnah at the end of Masechta Shavuos, which rattles off all the examples of Shavuos HaNeitlan. We spoke about this also in the past. the shvus hanot limid the rabbanon. The following person takes a shvu and collects money. This guy takes a shvu and collects the money. One of the many people who are shvus hanot limid is a shvu of who? The shvus asachir. So you have a dintayer between a balabayus and a poel. Right. Arguing about whether the guy was paid or not. So the balabai says, I paid you already. The poel says, what? I never got paid yet. What does the Mishnah say? The poel wins the dintar. The poel gets the money. Startling. The poel gets the dintar. Wins it. Why? Mehecha teizer. He's not sure the balabai is a kreif rakol. So the stomach of the balabai should win. So you're right. Minav Torah, the balabai loses the dintar. I'm sorry. Back up. Minav Torah, the poel loses the dintar. But mid the Rabbanon, we're going to give the Paul the money. You know why? Because there's something in our heart of hearts that makes us believe that the Paul is probably telling the truth. Okay? Why is that? Huh? Oh, I've got 100 Paul and 100 guys working for me. Remember who exactly did pay? Didn't pay. The Paul is one guy. I know if I didn't walk out of this job and my paycheck, I'm going to remember. So the Gemara says, therefore, the odds are the Paul is probably telling the truth. But the Chum didn't want to just give the money to the Paul just like that, so they forced the Paul to take a Shavua. Just to make sure that he's really up to par. So they institute a Shavua and then the Paul wins it in turn. So that's what happens. That's how it plays out in Masech Shavuos. Comes the Gemara and puts the brakes on this Takana. Comes the Gemara and says, Bamed v'amamurim, that the Paul wins it in Torah. That's if we at least know that he's a poel. We've never eaten him. We know the guy's been working here for the last 2 months. We know exactly he's a poel. No question. 100 other people with a job. We know the guy's a poel. And the balabais is admitting he's agreeing he's a poel. The only time that the balabais is having is that parat, you look like paid you already. But what if it's not even clear whether the guy's a poel in the first place? So in theory, if I say to you, Moshe, I'd like you to pay me, please, because I mowed your lawn for you. Please pay me. So Moshe, the Balabai, could respond one of two things. He could either respond, I paid you already, or he could also respond, what? I don't know who you are. I heard from you, I never hired you in the first place. So the Balabai, in a situation where the Paul doesn't even have Adim to support the fact that he was a Paul in the first place, so comes the Gemara and says, then the tables are turned. Then the Balabai is believed to say, Parati. He's saying Parati. Normally, Parati is not a good taina. If he was playing, Minatir is a good taina because it's a kofar kofar. Midrabon, it's not a good taina because Balabais is third refayla. So normally, Parati has been removed as being the winning taina. But sometimes we can bring Parati back to life if it has a what? If it has a another market? If it has a what? If it's a migo, Parati migo, then I could have said. And again, obviously that's only if there are no Edim. There are Edim who say that he was working, then obviously that's not a taina. So that's what the Gemara says. That even though the Mishnah says the Baal Bais always loses the entire, the Gemara qualifies that that's not always true. Sometimes the Baal Bais can win with a Migo. Migo, the lo hayu dvar me'ilam. Who remembers we had a big problem with this Migo, just an aside. What was a big problem with this Migo back in the early Sugyas? Migo da'oza, that's one. Big up the dummy, remember? We don't think the Balabais is an outright liar. We think the Balabais is just making a mistake, right? So we spoke about this a little bit, about how does this Gemara play out in terms of the regular Kolo Migo. We're not going to learn that right now. This is the Migo that the Gemara says. So Mamish at a left field. You would have read this Gemara, you know, it's tucked away at the end of Memheim and Bob, the end of Masech HaShavuos. You've made it through most of Seder Nezikin already. At the tail end of very, very end of Masech HaShavuos. You think you're coasting clear. And all of a sudden, the Gemara asks the Kasha. So you would expect some very technical Kasha, you know, learning a very, very technical sugya. It's not even in their rice, it's a dinderabanan. You know, so you want someone's going to ask a Kasha. Well, maybe the Migo's no good. Okay, I can live with such a Kasha. Comes to our Bachama and doesn't ask a technical Kasha. He throws Mamish and Adam Bominus. What does he say? Imtains after our Bachama. If such a Migo is an acceptable Migo, if you think this is right, what you just said, that Parayit is Nema B'Migo Dvar Me'olam, then I have a Kasha on you from the Chumash, from Parshas Mishpatim. Shavuos HaShomerim Dam Rachman Hech Mishkach Hazla. How come a Shomer ever has to take a Shavuot? A classic in the Torah, I claim, hey, I gave you an animal to watch, where is it? You say, it got stolen. So the Torah says, take a Shavuot. Then a Shavuos HaShomerim to you, Ben Shneim, Jikro Balabai Salahim, it's a Shavuos HaShomerim, it's a Dindir, everyone knows that. So fret for Abraham, why? Let the Shomer say, believe me that the animal was stolen, believe me, the Migal, the Lohayud Varmayalam. just as in Shavuah Staf, what is it, Mevav? Just as in Shavuah Staf Mevav, there's a Nigo Lohi Yodva Me'elom. If you're willing to accept this as a valid Nigo, believe me to say X, because Nigo Akhtar said Lohi Yodva Me'elom. Every Shema should be believed to say, Nenas, Nigna, Neva, whatever it is, the Nigo Lohi Yodva Me'elom. That's Rav Bachama's Kasha. And from the fact that that's not true, says Rav Bachama, because obviously Shavuah Sasharim exists in the Torah, Zetman Fendo, that your Nigo is wrong. That's Rav Bachama's Kasha. Mamish from left field. You know what the Gemara says? That's a great kasha. Rava says, that's a gavaldig kasha. That's an unbelievable kasha. But I can answer the kasha, says Rava. I give you an okimta. You know what the okimta is? You're right. In Ochinami, the question is better than the answer. Every shermer really does have such a migo. And the only time Pasha's Mishpatim is talking about is Ochel Maeskir and the what? That there are Edom who saw him give over the object, so therefore there's no Migo Lohadam. Nah! We answered it. Right? We're able to just give you a Dochuk. Then the Gemara is not satisfied. The Gemara says, okay, so we just lost that Migo, I'll give you another Migo. What's the other Migo? Every Shema should be believed to say Migo that what? That I gave it back. Believe me that it was stolen. Migo could have said I gave it back to you already. Aha! We're back in business. The Gemara says, nah! There's no Migo. You know why? There's a Shtar. And Shtar Chabiyadim, my boy. Every time I have a shtar, that says, I gave you something to watch. If you really gave it back, you should have taken the shtar back. So we solved the world's problems. Wow, what a fancy footwork. We solved Pashas Mishpatim. Man, we're bought with a kasha. It's an unbelievable thing. Look what's going on. I don't think anyone realizes what's going on over here. We have a stira between the Gemara and Shavuos. And that, what that? Then what? Anyways, we have a stira between a Gemara and Shavuos Mehemud Beis against the Pashas Mishpatim. That's really what we have here. We have a shvua on a level of the Rabbanon about shvuas sochir that the Gemara dreamt of. Yesh me'ayin, there's a migo of lo hayot v'miyom. There's no mishnah about this. No Tanoim never dreamt of this. All of a sudden, the Amoraim came up with this chalom laila called migo lo hayot v'miyom. And we ask, as a stira, there's a stira, how could there be a lo hayot v'miyom? Typically, it's against the Pasuk Chumash. So what do we do? So instead of saying, yeah, the Gemara's wrong, instead of saying, yeah, oh, kipt in the Gemara, we say, nope, the Gemara's right. And the Pasuk Chumash is wrong. The Pasuk is Hachamai Eskir, and the Pasuk is talking about such and such. It's not a wild Gemara. It's Mamash. Just think of the style of the Shachar. It's Mamash wild. So we at Baruch Hashem are not the first people to be bothered with the wildness of this Gemara. The Rimagash was already bothered with this Gasha. Comes the Rimagash, the Heiliger of Yosef, Ibn Halevi Migash. We're not going to tell the stories about him. We've told him already. If not, yes, the Shir sits and stuff like in. The Heiliger Rimagash, sitting in Spain, Tachas Raglav of the Heiliger Rift, Talmud Muvak of the Rift. The Rimagash is sitting there in the year 1000, well, over 1,000 years ago, and looking at this Gemara, and he has two comments on this Gemara. What are his two comments? Ho and ho. He says, I don't understand what's the Gemara talking about. On two levels, says the Rimagash. There's number one, there's it's like as if the Gemara discovered the concept of Migo and Daf Mem Hei and Shavuos. We're way when we learn Ksubis. You never learned Bava Metzia. You never learned Bava Basra. You just joined the yeshiva for the end of Masech HaShavuos. You never heard of Migo? All of a sudden, Rav Bachama says, hey, you guys just made up Migo. I'm going to prove to you from Bash Mashmat that Migos don't exist. You're blaming me for making up Migo? I made up Migo. Migo's been around since Adam HaRishon. Everyone knows there's a Migo. You never heard of Rav Bashashim, you never heard of Migo Da'azaz, you never heard of Rabbi, you never heard of you never Ksubis Kuftes, you never heard of Migo. We still want to close out with excitement, just get overwhelmed. You never heard of Migo, says the Rebbe. All of a sudden, Baruch Habu, Rav Bachama, discovers America. Hey, you guys just made up Migo, you're wrong against the Pasuk Chumash. That's the most ridiculous kasha in the world. Of course, there's a concept of Migo, number one. Number two, says the Rebbe, gosh, you expect me to believe that's the case of the Pasuk in Chumash. That's what Pashas Mishpatim is talking about. Hochab HaMayaskinan, that it's a, there are Edim and there's a Shtar. And everything. I said, I learned Hamafkir. I was in 8th grade. We learned Hamafkir. Elementary school. Okay, I'll tell you where I went to elementary school. I went to elementary school. We learned Perek HaMafkir. We learned the whole year Perek HaMafkir. You learned me a Pashas Mishpatim. My kid's learning Pashas Mishpatim now. Different elementary school. Learning Pashas Mishpatim. The whole year is going to be talking about Pashas HaShemrim. You can read every Pasuk and every Rashi and every Targum Onkelos and every Ramban and every Perish on Parsha Mishpatim, and in your wildest dreams, you will never realize that the whole Parsha is talking about Hakol Ma'askinan, that there are Edom and there's a Shtar. So says the Rebbe of God, who are you kidding? That's the case of Parsha Sherbet. There's no mission about that. Don't you think somewhere in Bava Metzia, the Tanoim told us about every other wild case under the sun, and they couldn't have told us that, by the way, Parsha Mishpatim is only talking about Hakol Ma'askinan the following? The Gemara is mamish pilei ploim. It's one of the most difficult, strangest Gemaras in Shas, says the Rebbe Gash. So comes the Rebbe Gash and says, I'm going to explain to you what's going on in this Gemara. Says the Rebbe Gash, the Gemara is not discussing the foolish question, is there a thing called Migo or not? Everybody knows there's a thing called Migo. There's no question about that. The Mishnayos about Migo. What the Gemara is addressing is something basic, fundamental, namely, how far does Migo go? We find Migo in Ksubis and in Bava Basra, what we call a Migo Liftor Mimamam. I have a Din Torah against you, and the way the Din Torah is playing out, you should lose your money. And all of a sudden, Migo comes and saves the day. That's Migo. Your taina that you advance is a terrible taina. Migo, you could have taina something better, and therefore we're going to let you keep your money. That's what Migo means. The Gemara in Shavuos is taking Migo to a whole new level. The Gemara in Shavuos is using Migo not just liftor mibama, that's a given, everybody knows that. It's a Migo liftor mishvua. It's giving a person a level of nemanos that otherwise would have been had to be verified with a shvua. And we're saying, even though you're a bar shvua, you're a mechuyav shvua, you have a migo on your side. Good, we believe your hands down. You don't have to. Don't come to Beis Din. We don't need your hands on the Bible. We believe you have a migo. That's great. That's what's really going on in Maseches Shavuos, is that the Gemara is addressing a whole new application of migo that we never heard of before. Migo liftor mishvua. And that's what the Amoraim said. The Balabayas is believed to say Parati. Migo, that he could have said Lohoyu Dvarmi Yolam. And he doesn't even have to take a Shvua to say Parati. There's no need for him to take a Shvua Parati. That's the Migo Liftor Mishvua. One sec. Penalty mark is down in this river. What's we told him? Migo Liftor Hushvua. What was the Shvua that we were coming to be Pelter exactly? The Balabayas is Shvua? The Balabayas, who said the Balabayas? I've had a Shavua to talk about. If I remember reading the Mishnah and Shavuos correctly, who was the Bar Shavua? The Putna was the Bar Shavua. Since when was the Balabayas the Bar Shavua? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. The Rebbe Gash says, the Gemara's discussion is, do you say Migo Liftor Mishvua or not? Wow, we're so excited because we have a new shot in the Gemara. Does Migo work Liftor Mishvua? So you have to stop the Rebbe Gash and say, what are you talking about? What do you mean Liftor Mishvua? Who was ever Mukhiyu Shavua in the first place? So the Rebbe Gash adds on this pshat. What does he say? If you look carefully at Maseches Shavuos, you'll notice that the Gemara pilpels back and forth between this Din Torah, between the Balabayas and the Poel. This raging issue between the Balabayas claims I paid you and the Poel says I didn't get paid. What should the Din Deraisa really, really, really have been? Honest to goodness. What should it have been? Min HaTorah, we should let the Balabayas walk out scot-free. Mamash not have to do anything. Zich not to pay, not even to be Nishma, it's a Kofar HaKol, we don't have to pay anymore. Comes the Mishnah and says, the Chacham changed the Din D'Oraisa, Hefkebez and Hefke, because they saw that Lamaisa 9 out of 10 times the Poel is telling the truth. Because the Balabais is Tarut, it's the Mishnah. So they changed the Din D'Oraisa, and they said the Poel could collect money. That's what they did. Comes the Gemara and says, what really should have happened, is that even if you think the Balabais is Tarud, even if you suspect that the Balabais isn't really telling the truth, what should we have done? We really shouldn't have jumped all the way and give the Poel the right to be no-till. What really we should have stopped at? What should we have done? We should have made the Balabais swear at least that he was Perea. That would have made sense. Min HaTorah, the Balabais says nothing. The Balabais, he's a Kofar HaKol, there's no Shavuos Heses, Rav Nachman wasn't born yet, we never heard of Shavuos Heses. So Min HaTorah, the Balabais should walk right out and say, I'm a Kofar HaKol, get lost, I'm not swearing, I'm not paying, I'm not doing anything. What the Chacham should have done was take the Balabais and say, listen, put you in the corner, Mr. Balabas, you're right, Min HaTorah, you really don't have to swear your Kofar HaKol, but you know what, we suspect you're tzimisht. swear that you were pere. That's what should have happened. And the Chum didn't even do that. They went one step further. They said, we're not even going to make the Balabais swear to pop to himself. Forget, we're going to make the Sochir, the Poel, swear to then go collect. So the Balabais just got killed twice. We made him take a shvuah, and then we took away the ability for him to make a shvuah and said, yo, we're not going to make you take a shvuah, we're going to make the other guy take a shvuah, and you're going to end up losing the money. That's what happened. That was at the Kona Sochir. But Be'ikaron, the Balabais is really, really, really a bar shvuah. We should never let the Balabais off the hook without a shvuah. Midirabonim. Again, it never really happened because Lamaisa, we went one step further that the Kana Sochir made the Socher take the Shavuot, the Poel take the Shavuot. But Be'ikaron, logically, the Balabais is also a Bar Shavuot. Comes Rebbe Magash and says, that's the problem of the Gemara. Gemara says, wait a second. The Balabais is believed because he's got a Paraiti Migo de Lahadam. So we're going to let the Balabais get off the hook. Without a Shavuot, you're not going to let him make it take a Shavuot at least. What are you kidding? You just got finished telling me before that logically we should have made the Balabais take a Shavuot. The Balabais is an eligible candidate for Shavuot, and you're going to let him get away without a Shavuot. Why is that? It must be because you're assuming that what? That Migo what? Migo is the Paraita Mishavuot. Wow. That's what Rabbi Chama said. So again, you got to get the background, you got to get the Shach V'Tayah, the flow of the Gemara is critical. But the whole Pshat V'Megash is assuming you understand this flow of the Gemara. You have the Din the Mishnah, the Pearl takes the Shavuot. Come to the Amaroyim and say, Rabbi Shmuel say, well, the no Eidim then has a Parat, he's believed Migo Dul Hadam. Rabbi Chama jumps in, Rabbi Shmuel says, what are you talking about? That's the Migo Lifta Mishavuot. So we got to fill in the gaps, says the Rimagash. Where's the Migo Lifta Mishavuot? Where was the Chiyuv Shavuot in the first place? The Chiyuv Shavuot was in the figment of our imagination. The Chiyuv Shavuot was in the Havaminas of Havaminas. And theoretically, they should have been a Baruch Shavuot. And we should never ever let the Balabais walk out without taking a Shavuot. Come to Migo and says, you can go home scot free without taking a Shavuot. Is that Minfando? You see from there, Migo Lifta Mishavuot. Wow, you got to be Rav Bachama for that one. The Gemara says, Rav Bachama was so sharp. The Gemara says, Babasta, he was so sharp. The Fum Chorf Mishabesh, sometimes he's so charif that he once made a mistake in terms of his lumdus because he was just such a sharp, I should say, Luyisha Cha. So this is what Rav Bachama was reading into this statement of Rav Shmuel, this Migo. So Kum to Rabbi Chama and says, I'm not asking on Migo. I would question Migo. You think I'm not a ma'amin in Migo? Everyone believes in Migo. I'm questioning Rav Shmuel's application of Migo lifta mishvua. That's what I'm questioning. And the Gemara says, that's going to contradict Parshas Shomrim. I'll give you an Akimta. Hachamayiskita Parshas Shomrim is talking about this and that and the other things. I can throw you out the window and explain to you why Parshas Shomrim. But Zachtivim Megash, in my heart of hearts, when all the dust settles, what's the real, honest to goodness answer to Parshas Shomrim? What happened to the Migo in Parshas Shomrim? What's the answer? What's the emes answer? Not the narish, not the dochuk teretz, not the hachamayiskita teretz. What's the emes answer? Why is there no Migo? Because Migo is so mishvul leyamrinan. That's why I was in 8th grade, we went to Olam Afkin, and no one ever told me that the Hakamai Skid in their Eidim. Because at the end of the day, it's not true. That's why Pash Mishpatim reads like a charm. Mishnah Yisimam Tzim reads like a charm. Nobody tells you about Eidim because they're not there. Because even though the guy in theory has a Migo, it's a loch patle. Migo lifted Mishpah Le'am reading. Ad Kan Divir Rimagash. Wow. I mean, come on. You understand why the Rif said about him that he was royal at Kabbal Torah. He said about his Talmud Rimagash. He would have been a Dor of Moshe Rabbein. He could have been Moshe Rabbein. You have to read the Gemara in Shavuos. Did you read that? Well, actually, you read this Gemara in Shavuos. The same way the Rebbe Gash did, right? Come on. The Rebbe Gash is sitting there in some cave, a candlelight, can barely see, with the scroll in front of him, and he's reading these two lines, and he came up with this whole thing. We got all these Narish guys in front of us, 15,000 computers, we got every possible Mar Malcolm. We got Frank Rambam's with 4,000 Makoros and every single letter in the Rambam, and nobody here figured this out. Right? That's the truth, right? So who is smarter? So comes the... I was telling my Yaakov the other day, we were learning something, so I was trying to explain to him what it looked like in the days of Rishon, when they read a Gemara. So you couldn't quote a daf, it's on Gimel. Gimel didn't exist yet. There was no dafim. Only when the printers came, they started making dafim. So that's why Rashi always says, Bishili Perakama, you know, Chilos Perakama. In the printer, in the dishes, they put in daf Gimel and Aleph. There was a Rashi not daf Gimel and Aleph. So every time Rashi had a kasha, they'd turn in the scroll to find the right place. You gotta start flipping through the handwritten pages, you know, to find where the pages. So the Rimagash is sitting and learning by Metziah Daf Gimel, and he's got to go fiddle through his scrolls, got to go find the scrolls inside the cave in Shavuos Daf Memei, and think this whole thing through. And he came up with it. It's a different Amilo Shotar experience, you might say. So everything's Givaldic, the Rimagash is Mamish Shravikai. He says the Rimagash, I'm going to go further. I'm going to go one step further, yeah.
No, there's no such thing as Migu good.
Right.
So then, why was the Baal
Bayis
Migu good?
He really
shouldn't.
Oh, so now you're asking a Sechashvu Shaila.
Yeah.
So, wait a second. So, I understand where the Baal Bayis gets off, but I don't understand why he gets away without a Shvua. Why does he get away without a Shvua? Okay, what? So, you gotta get back to that Gemara and Shvuas, okay? That's really the Shvuas part of this, okay? We don't need that part right now. That's the last nekuda of the problem. Nothing else. So comes the Rebbe Gash and says, "I'm not just going to sell you this Gemara and Shavuos Daf Memhei. I'm going to bring you two other rayas that what I'm saying is emes. What I'm saying is emes la'amitoi that migo lifted mishvul la'amir. What are the two rayas? Raya bruvish ena le'tshuva. I brought you one raya from Shavuos Hashomrim." And I'll bring you two more eyes. Come on, you're not going to have to figure it out. What are my two other ironclad rayas from Shavuos, from Hilchos Shavuos, that Migo lifted a Shavuos Lomrinim? The two other Shavuos, the Raisa. Each one of them has a Migo. Comes Rebbe Gash and looks you in the face and says, might have a mitzvah? Really? That's interesting. Might have a mitzvah to take a Shavuos? Every might have a mitzvah should be potter based on what? Every Maidiv Mikzas is potter because he has a what? Amigo de lo, the what? The Kaifra Kol. He could have been Kaifra Kol. So why does every Maidiv Mikzas exist? This is like the same Kashi Gemara. Shavuos Hashom Hech Meshkachas Lo. So Frekta Rimagash, I'll rephrase the question. Shavuos Maidiv Mikzas Hech Meshkachas Lo. Isn't every Maidiv Mikzas a Kaifra, Amigo of Kaifra Kol? Says the Rimagash. I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is very simple. Me go out, lift the mishpul, I am reading. There's something very familiar about the kasha. I can't put my finger on where I heard that kasha before. Why isn't every maid of mixes a kofar kol? Yeah, didn't I read that in Daf Gimel? What happened to the scroll of Daf Gimel? We got lost in the cave in the Rimagash. What happened? You can tell me the Rimagash forgot the Gemara of Metziah on Daf Gimel? Highly unlikely, because that same Gemara appears in Ksubis. And in Shavuos, and in Bava Kama, it's a lot of Gemaras to forget. Considering the fact that it's about a page away from the piece that the Rebbe Gash is talking about, very unlikely. So do you see what the Rebbe Gash just said? The Rebbe Gash just said, the same way the Gemara says Shavuos, Hashem Hichlash Kachas Lo, the answer is, the true answer, not the Dochak, Hakam Askina and Teretz of Edom and Shtaris, the real Emes Lamito answer is, Migal of the Mishul Lamidon. Says to me, gosh, I'm asking the same exact question, but mixes, that's the answer as well. There's something funny about this Rimagash. Something fishy. Doesn't the Gemara ask this kasha and give a different answer? Which leads us to believe that the Rimagash happened to have been before Rashi and before Tosis. And if I remember correctly, Rabba doesn't say those words. Mipnei ma ein ma midim osel b'migo de kofar akol shenemar v'yesh lomar migo de ozel or min. I don't remember those words exactly in Rabbah. I remember a very, very different description, very poetic. Mipnei ma amr Torah miksatani yeshava, which we Tosfos translated to mean, hey, you got a migo de kofar akol. You're superimposing Tosfos pshat on the Gemara and you're turning around against the Rebbe Gash. Obviously, the Rebbe Gash had a different pshat on the Gemara. There's no question about that. Otherwise, the Rebbe Gash's raya is an absurd raya. It's a raya lehevich. So we're still looking for the phantom pshat, the third pshat. We know that Tosfos pshat is absolutely not on the radar screen of the Rebbe Gash. The Rebbe Gash says, it's a migo d'oza. What do you migo d'oza? It's not a migo lifta mishvul armin. But that was Raya number one of the Rebbe Gash. Really, Raya number two says two Shavuos in his back pocket. One is Shavuos Hashomrim, because otherwise every Shvus HaShomrim is a Nigel, and to say the Teretz of Shtar and Edom is ridiculous. The Gemara never really meant it, one just meant Tichah B'Homel. And Raya number two is Maidu B'Mikzus. Okay, give me Raya number three. What's Raya number three? Shvus Erechon. Every Shvus Erechon. And Erechon comes and says, you owe $100? What do I have to give Shvus? I'm saying that I don't owe you $100. Believe me, B'Migo. Why don't we believe in B'Migo? The answer is, because B'Migo didn't lift up Shvus L'Yam Rinan. Atkan, the cryptic third Raya of the Rimagash. Every Shvus Erechon is going up against the B'Migo. The Baldov who's getting an Erechon against him, looks the Erechon, looks the Baldov, the other Baldin in the face and says, what are you talking about? Me? You want me to take the Shvus? Come with B'Migo. Yeah, the Torah says, L'yakom l'chalav l'chachat v'chav l'shvua. Because Migo lived to be Shvua Layamrina. So the Rimagash says the only way to understand Parsha Shvua Sein Echod is to assume that Migo lived to be Shvua Layamrina. Who here understands the third Raya? Who understands the third Raya? Oh, that's very 10 steps ahead. Comes the Rosh and says in Masech HaShvuas, he read this Raya to Rimagash. He says, I don't know who he's talking about. What's the Migo? I'm still looking for the Migo, says the Rosh. Why do you make this? I hear the Migo. I don't think he's right, I hear the Migo. Shvus HaShom, I hear the Migo. Erechon, what's the Migo? So it's a tell on the Rosh. The Ran says what the Migo is. The Migo is obvious, like you just said. The Ran must have brought down from Shemayim. What's the Migo? Hang returned it. What's the guy saying? The Baldin saying, I never borrowed $100. So he's talking, there's an Erechon against him. Yeah, don't believe me on what I'm saying, but believe me, the Migo. The Migo that could have said, I returned it. The Erechon didn't say I didn't return it. So that's the third Raya of the Rimagash. So we have three Rayas. The Raya of Shvus HaShomrim, the Raya of Leidu Mitzvahs, and the Raya of Erechon. Of course, who were the Bar Pluktas of the Rimagash? Tosis is leading the pack against the Rimagash. Tosis learned Pshat and Agamara that Migo lifto Mishvua Kena Marina. That was the whole Rabbah. Rabbah's whole question was based on Migo lifto Mishvua Marina. So obviously, Taisus held that Migo lifto Mimam lifto Migo lifto Mishvua. What's the difference? The Ran, the Rosh, everybody disagrees with the Rimagash. It's an ingenious Pshat and Agamara, but Lamaisa, nobody else says it. All the other Mishvahim say it's not true. Migo lifto Mishvua Kena Marina. But the Rimagash had three Rayas. He had three very, very serious Rayas. The three Shvuas, not to be confused with the Gimel Shvuas, but the Gimel Shvuas. So we had Shvuas HaShomrim, Shvuas Meidim HaMikdas, and Shvuas HaDechod, and each one of them has a Migo. There's a Migo of Lohed Vami Oilam, there's a Migo of Kaifrekol, there's a Migo of Hazarti. Each one has a Migo, and the Torah Kadesh ignores it. Isn't the institution of these three Shvuas indicate to us that Migo is the Shvuas HaMikdas? So comes the Ran and says, the classic two styles of learning. We have three kashas, right? What happened to Migo? So the Rimagash had three kashas, and he gave one what? One yesaid. The one yesaid is Migo lifto mishvua l'amrina. That's one approach of learning. What's the other approach of learning? Conceptual approach? Shoot one down at a time. I'm going to show you why you think you have a Migo here. There's something shaky about this Migo. Oh, you think you have a Migo over here? I'm going to show you another rule that's wrong with this Migo. You think you have a Migo over here? I'm going to give you another reason why that Migo is no good. I'm going to put a hole in each Migo. They say when you have one kasha is a kasha, two kashas is a teretz, three kashas is a yesod, and four kashas is a shir kloli. Okay? So the Rimagash had almost a shir kloli going. At least he had a yesod. You have three kashas. Hey, there's no, what happened to Migo? What happened to Migo? What happened to Migo? Is that meant Vendon? Migo is from Shulam. And the Ran, leading the back of the Bali Hatesa, says it's not true. That notwithstanding the fact that Migo lifto mishvua kena marina, there's some technical glitch with each one of these Migos. What is the glitch? What is the ba'ya? What is the problem with each one of these Migos? Which is the easiest one for us to deal with? Thank you to Rabba. Ah, come on, Migo, no good, mix us, come on. That's a Migo. What's it called? Migo de Oza, come on, ain't amazed, but come on, you don't know by now. Migo de Oza. Let's go in order of difficulty. Shvus HaShomrim. What's the problem with the Migo Shuas HaShomerim? Says the rabbi can come up with two problems. It's also HaAzah. You know why? I have two possibilities to say in front of you. I can look you straight in the face and I can say, listen, I'm so sorry. You know, I feel terrible, but your animal was stolen. Or I could say to you, you rotten liar. I said, I never saw you before. You try to make me pay for an animal you never gave me. Those are the two options. Which one would I prefer? I'm a nice guy. Which one would I prefer to say? Rather than I call the guy a rotten liar. Okay? That's a Migo HaAzah also. For me to say the animal was stolen, the other guy doesn't have a clue whether it was stolen or not. He has no idea. Nafka doesn't know what really happened. He's not expected to know. It's that he's not home. He's on a cruise somewhere. So it's a Migo HaAzah also. Says the Ran, I'm going to make matters even better. I'm going to give you matter worse, whatever you want to call it. It's a worse Migo. There's another problem with Migo. There's another fundamental problem with Migo of Shomim. What is it? It's a Migo B'Dedami. Remember back to Migo B'Dedami? We spoke about this earlier in the year. When I say, I'm so sorry, I really feel terrible, it was stolen. Do we think I'm a chakran? We think I'm stop making up a story, Yeshmeyayah? No. What we think happened, maybe, we suspect, maybe the animal was stolen, or maybe it wasn't quite. I thought it was stolen. I came home one night, I can't find the animal anymore. I didn't remember, did I lock the barn? Did I not lock the barn? Maybe I was Peshea, maybe it wasn't Peshea. So I'm saying, oh yeah, it was stolen. Oh, no, it was stolen. So the Torah says, really? It was stolen? Swear to it. Put your money where your mouth is. Take a shvua. It's not that we think the Shem is a chakra and amazed it. We think he's a dummy, bit of dummy. He's making up a story. He's convincing himself that's probably what happened. As Taisa said at the end of Maseches Yevamos, so we spoke about the Arichos and the sugyas of Amigo in the first Mishnah. It wasn't that long ago, the first Mishnah. Taisa said, when you have Amigo with the dummy, that's not Amigo. Amigo means we think you're a liar, we're going to prove based on Amigo you're probably telling the truth. But if you don't even think you're lying, you think you're telling the truth, so how does Amigo prove anything? So says the Rad, Shomer is a problem, because it's been a dummy. So we're only left with one left. The last possible Amigo. It's Amigo Vedecha. What's the Amigo example? What's the Amigo? Believe me, what? Believe me to say, I never borrowed $100. People the ace staring me in the face and saying, you did borrow $100. Migo, I could have said, I returned $100. He doesn't know whether I returned it or not. So believe me what I'm saying, Migo, I could have said, I returned it. What's the problem with that Migo? Is that a Migo to HaAzah? They're both HaAzah territory. For me to say, I didn't borrow the money, for me to say, I returned the money, you don't remember, that this smacks of HaAzah. But the dummy? There's no but the dummy over here. So we had a problem over here. What is the dichli of this raya? It's funny because we started off thinking, the Rosh said he didn't understand what the Migo was in the first place. But the Ran said, this is the best raya. This is the strongest of all the shuls. The other shuls, yeah, shmazah, the dummies, the houses. Yeah, we're not going to lose any much sleep for these. But this third one is a serious, serious problem. There's a very real problem with this third Migo. Because this Migo sounds like it meets the mark of Migo. So we're looking for the hole. We're looking for how to shoot down this Migo. We don't want to go the Riba Gash's route. We want to find the technical glitch in this Migo. What's the glitch in this Migo? Oh. So comes around and says, there's a whole new problem with this Migo. So we'll have to see if it's Shem next year. What is the problem with this Migo? What's the final glitch in the three Migos of the Riba Gash? And we have to continue back to that Gemara. How would the Rima Gash begin to understand that Gemara? And then to understand how all this is going to play out in terms of when the Migo is left over or not. Okay. Rabbi Isai, I think we're due for a special shiur. We haven't had one in the weekend yet. So the question is, when to do it?